So what would your reaction be if Jesus came pecking at your door and he said, I want to come in for dinner. I want to come in and visit with you. That's a part of being ready. That's a part of being watchful.
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, a story about a vineyard. Then using this illustration, Jesus spoke to them. He said, a man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, made a vat for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to the vineyard workers and went on a trip. at the right time, he sent a servant to the workers to collect from them a share of the grapes from the vineyard. The workers took the servant, beat him, and sent him back with nothing. So the man sent another servant to them. They hit the servant on the head and treated him shamefully. The man sent another, and they killed that servant. Then he sent many other servants. Some of these they beat, others they killed. He had one more person to send. That person was his son, whom he loved. Finally, he sent his son to them. He thought, they will respect my son. But those workers said to one another, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the workers and give the vineyard to others. Have you never read the scripture passage? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is amazing for us to see. They wanted to arrest him, but were afraid of the crowd. They knew that he had directed this illustration at them, so they left him alone and went away.
Turn to Mark chapter 13. If you were to read in the lectionary, which is a 3-year cycle of readings that sometimes I have followed over the years in order to prepare sermons. This is one of those texts that oftentimes gets used about the time of Advent in anticipation of the birth of Jesus Christ and the coming of the soon-to-be coming King. But here it becomes a sermon, a message, a word of scripture to remind us that Jesus, in fact, is coming again, and he warns the disciples of what to be aware of. So we read from Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 5 through 11. Then Jesus began to say to the disciples, beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is the beginning of the birth pangs. As for you yourselves, be aware. For they will hand you over to councils and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings because of me. As a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you at that time. For it is not you who speaks, but it is the Holy Spirit. This is the Word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, interesting text for us in these days of day of days. The 13th chapter of Mark is one of the most difficult in the gospel readings because it is very Jewish in its content. It reminds those who are of the chosen race that they're going to receive what they have believed is coming due to them. It reminds us of the great day of the Lord that is coming. It reminds us of the prophecies for the destruction of Israel, for the destruction of the temple, warnings of persecution, warnings of dangers in the last days, warnings of the second coming, and warnings about the need to be watchful. If you've paid attention over the years, there have been multiple dates about when Jesus was coming. Back a long time ago, there was a date called, I think it was 1988. Well, that date has come and gone. When I was in seminary, the second year of my seminary days, I believe it was September the 12th of 1989, we were all told, by golly, that's going to be the day. Well, that day has since come and gone. Probably we might have thought, given what occurred on September 11th of 2001, probably some of us thought that day, given the thing that happened, that maybe this was the day that the world was going to come to an end. Well, that time has now come and gone nearly 15 years later. And the other day, as I was turning on the computer, my computer just happens to open up, and when I turn on the email, there's a whole scan of news articles that show up. And I didn't catch it quick enough, but there was a little article that said that there was a date, something around 2021, that's the day again. Got another date out there. So last night, yesterday, as I was getting ready for this sermon, I thought, well, we'll type in the new date for Jesus' reappearance. Well, I didn't find an exact specific date, but I found a ballpark. So get ready. Somewhere between 2018 and 2047. Just thought you might want to know. Can't tell you what day exactly, can't tell you what hour, can't tell you what minute, but that's the next projected timeline. Well, first of all, let me say this to you. The kingdom is already here. We're living in the kingdom of God. We are part of that kingdom. The fact that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're part of the kingdom that is already living. But yet, I remind you that the kingdom, God's kingdom, Jesus, is going to return at some point in the future. But we don't know the date any more than God knows the date. But what I want to say to you is, we should keep watch. We should be aware. But let's not scare people into believing. Let's not frighten people. Let's not stand and wring our hands and say, oh dear, when is it coming? When is it going to happen? Because in the meantime of doing that, we waste a lot of powerful time and a lot of important time in helping folks to be ready and help others get ready. If we spend all of our time wringing our hands and worrying about when it is going to happen, we're going to miss some valuable time. Jesus told us in many, many ways that he would return. In fact, when you get ready to read the book of Matthew, when you get over to about the 25th chapter, there are three distinct parables in the book of Matthew that talk about the 10 bridesmaids and talk about the sheep and the goats and talk about keeping your lamps trimmed. And there are many, many other scriptures, Old and New Testament alike, that prophesy and tell us that the days are coming. And if we look at what's out there, you know, we've got the wars in Mosul. We've had earthquakes. We've got family. We have people that are starving. One might say that the days are making ready for that. But again, we don't know the day. We don't know the hour when that's going to happen. But our job in the interim, our most important job, is to make sure that we are ready and that those we know and love and have the opportunity to make a relationship with are ready. Several years ago, it was around Easter time, I saw a quip. It was on a lot of church boards, and perhaps you saw it as well. If Jesus were to come and you were to be arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you that you, in fact, are a Christian? And that's part of what we need to consider as we think about being ready. Do I have the fruits? Am I demonstrating the fruits of being a Christian such that people would know and I could be charged for being a Christian in the world? And people would say, take that person and present them before the authorities. And then in this text in Mark, it says, don't worry about what they're going to ask you. Because if you're ready, God will give you the words to know what to say, to be able to defend yourself and speak the gospel and speak the truth before those who are present around you. You won't need to have practiced a speech. You won't need to have memorized one, because God will give you the ability to be able to speak what needs to be said. So the question is, do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Are you living into that reality? Have you studied the scriptures? Are you studying the scriptures? What experience do you have for knowing that he is your Lord and Savior? What knowledge do you have? And will that help take care of you when you're presented in that capacity, in that place? Well, when I drive up and down the road in my car, I get in between zones and I'm either listening to Star 88.3 or I'm listening to Caleb, depending on where I'm at on the road. And Louis Palau every now and then comes along. And the other day he made a statement on the radio. He said, imagine that you're sitting in your house this afternoon and you're fixing lunch or you're fixing dinner for yourself, depending on what your Sunday tradition is, or you're reading your iPad or you're reading your computer or you're reading your newspaper, whatever your pattern is on Sunday afternoon, there's a knock at the door. You go to the door and you enter the door, and it's Jesus Christ knocking at your door, wanting to come in. And Jesus says to you, I'm coming in to have dinner with you. I'm coming in to visit with you. What would be your response? What would be your reaction? Now, we had an outreach meeting this week, and the joke was is that if he came to my house, I would invite him to go to dinner because I wouldn't be able to fix dinner for him. Now, I can tell you that there are people here who could testify this morning that they actually saw me with an electric knife in my hand this week, carving a ham, this carving not one but two hams. Well, I can cook, believe it or not. I know you'd find that really interesting, but I can do it on a necessity. So I could do it for Jesus if I had to. But I don't think the important thing is that I can. It's that what he really wants is he wants to spend time with us. Remember the story in Luke, I think it is, where Mary and Martha are having a visit with Jesus, and he's come to dinner with them. And Martha's the one who is scurrying around the kitchen, and she's banging pans and clanging dishes and hurrying and scurrying around trying to get dinner ready for all of them. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and they're talking. And Martha, in her best whiny voice, says, Jesus, why don't you make her get up off the floor and come help me? And you hear that? Now, that's my version of that. But that's what I visualize that conversation sounding like. And he says to her, she's doing the better thing. She's sitting here where she needs to be. So what would your reaction be if Jesus came pecking at your door and he said, I want to come in for dinner. I want to come in and visit with you. That's a part of being ready. That's a part of being watchful. Would you recognize him? Because you see, part of the challenge will be as we wait and watch, there are going to be people who are going to come claiming that they're Jesus Christ. Several years ago, there were a whole series of books that came out that were a story of Jesus of the second coming. And there were people on an airplane and all the people disappeared on the plane. And it went on for like five, six, seven, eight books. I can't even remember how many. I lost track. And there were people who looked like, purported to be, maybe they were Jesus. Maybe some of them weren't. And it got really crazy in that setting. But my challenge to you is this. Jesus says to us in this text today, as for you yourselves, be aware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you at that time, for it is not you who speaks, but it is the Holy Spirit. We read through the book of Mark. At the very opening of the book of Mark, in one of the first chapters, it says that Jesus says to them, repent and share the good news. Our job, friends, our job is to be about sharing the good news to anybody who will listen. Who has God been laying on your heart to build a relationship with? Who has God been laying on your heart to build a relationship with? That's the person to start with. But we have to build the relationship with first. Have to get to know them. Have to get to understand who they are. Have to understand what they're about. My little kid's hope boy, he's been trying to teach me about Pokemon. It's not working very well. But you know what? Part of what we're doing with Not Home Alone and Kids Hope is we're building relationships. We are their church. We are their church. And we're building a relationship with each and every one of them as we come in contact with them. And every one of us has other people that we can be building relationships and be sharing the good news with. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, who wants to come into our lives, who want to be a part of our lives, who want to come and sit with us, not while we're cleaning the house, not while we're busy getting dinner ready, but want to simply sit and be with us in a conversation, in a dialogue about what's happening in our lives. So this time, while we sit and watch and wait, is about building relationships. It's about meeting people where they are. Coming into their place, whether it's someplace that you might not otherwise go, someplace you might not normally visit. You know, one of the fastest places that's having, one of the places that people go and have Bible study. Have you been to Starbucks recently? There are all kinds of Bible studies that happen at Starbucks and people converse around coffee or whatever. But where can you meet that person that God's placing on your heart that you can build a relationship with them and help them hear and know about the good news? Help them to see God's action at work in you. Help them see Jesus being hands and feet to them. And sometimes it has to be a simple act as paying it forward in their life in order to get their attention. That they can begin to have a conversation with you, that they can begin to have a dialogue with you, that they can hear the good news, they can experience the good news. Now, we don't know how much time we have. It might be in the next couple of years, or some of us may have quite a few years before it happens. We don't know. Depending on how old you are, how young you are, may determine how much time you got. But in the interim, we've got to make sure we're about the business of making and building relationships that we can share the good news. So that whenever it happens, whenever we're drug in before the folks that say, "Who are you? Are you one of those Christians?" that God will give us the words that we need to say before the right people and say, "Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I shared the good news, and I believe that good news, and I believe that Jesus is the one who can save sinners, who is promise of resurrection, promise of hope, promise of life everlasting." That will make them uncomfortable. You know, that's the reason that in that opening text that Holly read, that they didn't push it the envelope any longer, because they knew that Jesus was talking to them. They knew that he told them the parable about the tenant farmer, because he knew that they were the ones who were doing the beating and the maiming. And they knew that that wasn't the time to pull any fast tricks at that moment. But if we're ready, we'll be ready when they come to take us away into the midst of the governance and take us before people and hold us accountable for our faith, and that God will give us the words that we need to speak at the right moment, at the right time, if we're in the right relationship that we need to be with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So keep watch and be ready. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we pray, O God, that every person here this day is ready for that day in which you will come to claim us as your own. When you come across that eastern sky and come through the temple doors and say, here I am, I'm ready to take you back into myself. May none of us find ourselves wanting or wishing we'd been ready. So we pray that you will help each person to examine their own lives and their own hearts and ask themselves, am I ready? Or do I need to do a little more work to be ready for that day whenever it comes, so that I'm not found waiting? But if we're ready, then let us continue to pray for that one or two that we need to begin building that relationship with, that we might help lead them so that they are ready on that important day when you come and claim us under your own. We ask and we pray all of this in the name of the one who called Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.